Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said worry is the dark room in which negatives can develop. We appreciate this opportunity of Bible study today. We're glad you've been listening to Bible Meditations. Let's return now to our study, and we've been talking about the fact that God gave a pattern that He wanted men to follow. And that pattern was given in regard to the New Testament teachings of things. But we used an example from the Old Testament based on Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, when God told Moses, "You see that you follow the pattern that I showed unto thee in the mount." If God was careful and gave a pattern that needed to be followed by Moses, why would we assume that God leaves us on our own to decide what we want to do in religious activities? Well, that certainly could not be true. God has given to us a pattern as well. So we looked at what the pattern says in regard to the name that we wear. We looked at three passages in the New Testament that use the name Christian. And these are the names, or that is the name, that is worn by those who are followers of the Lord. Acts 11:26, Acts 26 and verse 28, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, each of those passages talk about the name of Christ and the disciples being called Christians. Notice also Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16 that this is the name that glorifies Jesus Christ. Well, indeed it is. You can't say Christian without saying Christ. So that's the name according to the pattern. Also, the pattern of worship is very clearly made known in the Word of God. We're not at liberty to do just anything in worship that we decide to do. Go to the example in John chapter 4 of the discussion of Jesus with the woman of Samaria. At the well, the woman was drawing water. Jesus had a conversation with her, and she said to Jesus, "Our fathers worship in this mountain, but you say Jerusalem is where men ought to worship." Now the distinction is being made between the worship of the Samaritans and the worship of those who were Jews. And so she said, "I worship according to the religion of my fathers in this mountain. But you follow the way of the Jewish people, and you believe Jerusalem is the headquarter of worship." Well, Jesus answered her by saying, "The hour's coming when neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem shall men worship the Father. But God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Now, there are a lot of things that might be learned from this particular account. One of them is that the place we are doesn't determine whether or not God accepts our worship. In other words, this mountain or Jerusalem wouldn't make any difference. That's not the important thing. But what is important? Worship must be according to two requirements. It must be in spirit, and it must be in truth. Well, let's look at the term spirit. What does it mean when worship must be in spirit? Does it not very clearly mean that it must be from the heart? In describing some people in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, honoreth me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now look at the first part of that. They draw nigh with their lips, with their mouth. They're saying the right thing, but he says it's vain. Well, why would it be vain? Because they are not allowing the words that are being spoken to be words that come from their heart, from their mind. So, when we worship God, it must be with our understanding. Paul, in the 1 Corinthian letter, chapter 14, says in verses 14 and 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Did you ever memorize the words of a song and find yourself saying the words of that song without really thinking about what the song says? Well, is that possible in regard to our worship in times that we remember songs that we've committed to memory? We might know very clearly songs like The Old Rugged Cross. We might have memorized songs like How Great Thou Art. And those songs are great songs. But are we merely rehearsing the words in our worship? Or is our worship coming from the heart, remembering the thought that is involved in the songs that we sing or the prayers that we offer to our Father in heaven? It must be in spirit. That is, it must come from our heart. All right, also, it must be in truth. It's not enough to say, I worship. It has to be in truth. There were people who worshiped a golden calf, but it didn't please God. There were people in the city of Athens, Greece, Acts 17, who worshiped, but they were not worshiping the one true and living God, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. So it must be in truth in order for it to be acceptable unto God. God has given us a pattern. We need to follow that pattern in our worship and in our everyday activities. Whatever we do, we need to follow the instruction of God's Word. It's been a privilege to talk with you this week. We remind you it was Jesus who said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our